I'm Tracy Sable tonight on EWTN News Nightly. Headed back to the White House, former President Donald Trump wins re-election with a strong showing among independent voters and in the battleground states. We have reaction from the Harris and Trump campaigns, plus a closer look at the races that will determine the balance of power on Capitol Hill. Firing back. Officials in Israel weigh in after Prime Minister Netanyahu abruptly fires a popular defense minister. Plus, the last straw. Pope Francis warns the faithful against having a Coca-Cola spirituality. We'll explain these stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us. Our top story tonight, Vice President Kamala Harris delivers her concession speech after not saying a word last night. Harris spoke at her alma mater, Howard University in Washington, D.C., and that is where her supporters watched returns last night before being sent home after midnight. As President-elect Donald Trump pulled ahead, Harris, while acknowledging defeat, said today the light of America's promise will always burn bright. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Tracy, good evening to you. Earlier today, Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris called Donald Trump to concede the 2024 election. And the Trump campaign says the president-elect acknowledged Vice President Harris on her strength, professionalism, and tenacity throughout the campaign and agreed on the importance of unifying the country. Later, Vice President Harris showed up here at Howard University to deliver her concession speech.
After losing to Donald Trump, Kamala Harris tells her supporters on the Howard University campus,
"While I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign."
And after replacing Joe Biden at the top of the Democratic ticket, Harris had only 107 days until the end.
On the campaign, I would often say, when we fight, we win. But here's the thing. Sometimes the fight takes a while. That doesn't mean we won't win.
When it was all said and done, Harris trailed Trump in every battleground state, Michigan among them.
We're getting a message from a lot of people that we're not hearing them. And I hope we take the time to do the soul searching we have to do.
A huge part of Kamala Harris's campaign focused on abortion and slamming Donald Trump's Supreme Court picks for overturning Roe v. Wade. Pro-life groups say she wanted to shut them down, but now life wins.
We endured 49 years of the tyranny of Roe versus Wade. We never gave up. We always persisted. We grew larger. We grew stronger. We grew more sophisticated until we saw Roe versus Wade reverse.
Democrats now face the prospect of picking up the pieces during a second Trump presidency, and it's unclear what role Harris will play in her party's future.
Also tonight, we're learning President Biden spoke by phone with both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump today. He congratulated Trump on his victory and Harris for her historic campaign. In his words, Biden invited Trump to meet him at the White House. Not clear when that might happen. Tomorrow, President Biden will talk to the nation to discuss the smooth transition of power. Outside Howard University in Washington, D.C., Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Okay, thank you so much, Owen, for that. And now we go to EWTN correspondent Eric Rosales, who is in West Palm Beach, Florida, where things are slowly getting back to normal after a very busy night. Eric.
Well, good evening, Tracy. Yes, I'm just outside of Mar-a-Lago, where the celebration continues now. President-elect Donald Trump woke up this morning after a very busy night, and come January will become the 47th president of the United States. At around 3:30 this morning, he ended up thanking his supporters for helping him win many of the swing states.
This was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country, and maybe beyond. And now it's going to reach a new level of importance.
And under President Trump's leadership, we're never going to stop fighting for you, for your dreams, for the future of your children.
Democrats, on the other hand, stand behind their record.
I think it's hard to look back and talk about what could have or might have or should have been. President Biden has a very strong legislative record of bipartisan accomplishments.
It was also a big night for Senate Republicans, who can look forward to taking control of the upper chamber for the first time since 2021.
The filibuster will stand. There won't be any new states admitted that give a partisan advantage to the other side. And we'll quit beating up the Supreme Court every time we don't like a decision they make.
It's a big deal. Look, it's also a big responsibility, right? We're sent there to make something happen, not just celebrate victories. So we have an exciting opportunity now to make a real difference for the country.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich tells me Republicans face losing future elections if they don't show leadership and perform.
And they have to be very careful to remember what the American people think and what the American people want. If they do that, like Reagan and like Lincoln, they'll be successful. If they think that the temporary loan of power releases them from thinking about the American people, they'll be a disaster.
Bottom line, Republicans could be in complete control of Congress. We are still waiting on some crucial House races to be decided. House Speaker Mike Johnson isn't taking any chances. He's already planning a meeting with lawmakers, his Republican colleagues, so that they could hit the ground running come January. Reporting from Florida, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
Now, Republicans have also captured the Senate. They currently have 52 seats to Democrats' 44. A lot of people across the country were watching Montana. That's why Republican Tim Sheehy ousted incumbent Democrat John Tester, winning 53.3% of the vote. Throughout the election, Montana had been considered crucial to Republican efforts to regain control of the upper chamber. Well, Democrats lost another incumbent senator in Ohio, Republican Bernie Moreno, edging out Senator Sherrod Brown with 50.2% of the vote. Brown has been in the Senate there since 2007. However, the Democrats could pull off a win in Arizona, another closely watched race for sure. Democrat Ruben Gallego is currently beating Republican Kerry Lake with 50.4% of the vote. And an exit poll from the Washington Post says that Catholic-identifying voters broke for President-elect Trump by a large margin. The paper found Trump won the national Catholic vote by 56% to 41%. For Vice President Harris, this marked a large improvement from earlier in the campaign. According to a story by Pew Research in September, Trump led among Catholic-identifying voters by 52% to 47%. Meanwhile, the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops is calling for prayers and unity following the announcement of election results. Archbishop Timothy Broglio said, quote, "I congratulate President-elect Trump as well as the national, state, and local officials who campaigned to represent the people. Now we move from campaigning to governing, and we rejoice in our ability to transition peacefully from one government to the next." He continued calling for respect, civility, and charity, and asked for the intercession of our Blessed Mother in guiding our nation to protect the most vulnerable among us, the unborn, the poor, the stranger, the elderly, and infirmed and migrants. In states with abortion ballot initiatives, the Catholic Bishops Conference put out statements and videos urging the faithful to vote to protect life. Bishops in Colorado warned that Amendment 79 could open the door for direct taxpayer funding for abortion.
Now our very progressive pro-abortion Colorado legislature will come back in January and allocate a multi-million dollar allocation funding abortion procedure and travel. Because if, in the language of Amendment 79, the state cannot deny, impede, or discriminate against a right to abortion, that means that any type of imposition to abortion access is considered a threat to that fundamental right. And pregnancy centers are square in the middle of that fight. So the questions of what will happen to PRCs, there's about 56 of them in the state of Colorado that minister to mothers and provide a continuum of care to families, prenatal and postnatal, is very important.
All right, we return now to Bishop Michael Burbidge, head of the Catholic Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, just outside the nation's capital here. He is also the chairman of the USCCB Committee on Pro-Life Activities. Your Excellency, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Chrissy.
As a shepherd to the faithful, what would you most like to see from this second term with President-elect Trump?
Well, we always, as a conference of bishops, always pledge our willingness to work with the administration in all policies that promote life and justice, assistance to the poor and needy, anything that we can do to promote, to uphold the dignity of all persons as children of God, and to be united as a nation. You know, when we went to bed last night, we knew one thing was going to happen. We were going to wake up today, still one nation under God. And I echo those words of Archbishop Broglio, that we are called to do all that we can to foster that unity as we promote truth and justice.
Absolutely. And how should we as Catholics respond to the election? I mean, given that, you know, we are seemingly a divided country, how can we come together?
Well, we know that all politics, all of human history, will find their fulfillment in God. It is ultimately the Lord that leads and guides us to that path of freedom, to the path of peace for which we all long. And so we must continue to bring our faith, to bring what we know to be true into that public arena. And to the extent that we're following the path of God and courageously living it, we are serving our nation.
Yeah, Your Excellency, I want to ask you about some of the ballot initiatives now, particularly those involving pro-life measures. Your thoughts on what happened last night?
Well, we know that the ballot initiatives, 10 states were facing those initiatives, and Florida and Nebraska and South Dakota were successful in protecting life and limiting abortion. I know all the bishops in those 10 states were working tirelessly, devoting so much energy, so much resources, so much teaching of the need to on the local level, on the state level, to protect life. We're not always going to be victorious. I commend and thank the bishops and the faithful in all those states that were facing this challenge, and particularly join them in thanking God in the three states that were victorious. But even when we lose, we're not defeated. We have the truth, and we will continue to proclaim that.
Yeah, and we have maybe a little less than a minute left, but I quickly want to ask you this. In the next week, all the U.S. bishops are going to meet in Baltimore. Will the pro-life committee that you lead, will you be discussing the election results there?
We will. We will, in a particular way, we will be discussing the challenges that states have faced and will face with these ballot initiatives ever since this decision has gone back to the states. And so we will continue to listen from those who have gone through this experience. What were the challenges? What worked well? What was effective in leading this cause? And so we will specifically talk about that issue on the pro-life committee level.
Well, Bishop Burbridge, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Well, following the news of Donald Trump's election, the U.S. stock market surged to its best day in 2 years. My day's end. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed more than 1,500 points. Bank stocks, crypto, as well as Elon Musk, Tesla, all saw significant gains. This comes as the Federal Reserve is expected to announce its latest decision on interest rates on Thursday. And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including wins and losses for the pro-life movement. March for Life President Jeannie Mancini breaks down the election results regarding this matter. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu makes a surprising move amid the war in Gaza. election, voters considered pro-abortion measures in 10 states. The ballot initiative sought to enshrine abortion as a so-called right in state constitutions. Pro-lifers are claiming victory in three of those 10 states. They are the first since Roe v. Wade was overturned. In South Dakota, the law that protects babies during all 9 months of pregnancy will stay in place. 59% of the voters voted against Amendment G, which would have constitutionalized a so-called right to abortion in the first trimester. Nebraska also is considered a win for pro-lifers. The state is unique in that it had dueling abortion ballot measures. Nebraska Measure 434 would keep the 12-week abortion ban in place. Measure 439 would extend the window of allowing abortion until 24 weeks. The extension to 24 weeks failed, so abortion will be allowed until 12 weeks, but it is considered the lesser of two evils. And in Florida, pro-life leaders are celebrating a win there. A heartbeat law that went into effect earlier this year will remain the law of the land because an abortion measure failed to get the necessary 60% of the vote. But it was close. In fact, 57% of voters wanted to constitutionalize abortion there, falling short of the needed 60%. And the Florida Catholic bishops, while proudly relieved that the pro-abortion measure was defeated, noted that much work still needs to be done. And joining us now is pro-life leader Jeannie Mancini, the current president of the March for Life. Jeannie, always great to see you. A lot to talk about, but first, I want to get your reaction to the abortion ballot results. And were there any surprises for you?
Well, they were all pleasant surprises. I mean, we were hopeful, but we were. So let me actually just take a step back. Here we've been living in the cultural reverberation of the overturn of Roe v. Wade, which to so many of us, we know the overturn was incredible, but our culture has been so confused, you know, and we've had sort of this earthquake culturally. And we've really been fighting upstream, swimming upstream for the last few years as pro-lifers. And I woke up this morning and I feel that the pendulum is coming back in the direction of life. And in large part, because of these surprises, to get back to your question of these ballot initiatives. So that we took one state, Florida, was incredible. And that alone is just, I mean, there's so much to learn. But three states, we fought back these aggressive measures. And in one state, we're able to enact pro-life protections. This is incredible. And there's so much more, but that's just a start.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeannie, I want to ask you this, you know, for the losses that were there yesterday, you know, you mentioned confusion. There was a lot of misinformation about abortion during this election cycle. How much of a role do you think that played into some of the results?
Well, I absolutely think it played into the results. And by the way, the confusion and the deception is well-funded. I mean, we have to be clear that So 160 million were put into, on the pro-abortion side, these referendums around the country. So the fact that we were able to win any was a pretty massive thing. The other thing, too, is when we look at the presidential campaign, Kamala Harris made abortion kind of the heartbeat of her campaign. She went front and center on this issue. And so even that in and of itself, where Americans came down on that has a lot to say about where Americans are on life. You know, she was the Democratic ticket was far too extreme and out of touch with mainstream America on this issue. And so, again, I think the pendulum's swinging back. We continue every day to build a culture of life, but we're moving in the right direction culturally again.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good to see that. I want to talk about coming up in January. That's when President-elect Trump is going to retake the office there. And January is also when we have March for Life. And now that we're going to have a more pro-life administration in the White House, Jeannie, what kind of feeling do you think there will be at the March for Life this year because of that?
Well, I can tell you, our spirits are so buoyed today. Again, sort of leading with the ballot initiative wins. We're just so excited about that. But also to, you know, we know that President Trump, in his administration, in terms of just looking at the policy that was enacted in those 4 years, he was arguably the most pro-life president ever. And so if he would only just begin by reinstating what he originally did, for example, like the Protecting Life and Global Health Act, Act kind of, you know, measures. If he could do that on day one, just reinstating sort of what's been undone in the Biden administration, we'd get so far. So, yes, we are very excited at the March for Life. And we know that relationships really need to be built and continue to be built with the Trump administration. Our president-elect, Jenny Lichter, worked in the Trump administration in the Domestic Policy Council. And so we're eager to continue to build those relationships and to do everything we can to build a culture of life.
Yeah, and Jeannie, just really quickly, I want to throw this out. We were looking at pictures of President Trump at the March for Life. Any idea maybe if maybe he or Vice President-elect Vance might get invited this year to speak?
Well, you know, every year we invite, even including like in a Biden administration, we invite presidents to come and march with us. So we, of course, would be excited for the president to come and march and be with the marchers again.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Jeannie, great to be with you as always. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks, Tracy.
Well, Israel is seeing its own shakeup in leadership after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu dismissed the country's defense minister, Yoav Gallant. Israeli opposition leaders have spoken out against the prime minister.
Gallant was fired only for political reasons, only because he disturbed Netanyahu in passing the evasion laws. He was fired because Netanyahu chose evaders instead of servants.
On Netanyahu and Gallant were at odds over the war in Gaza. The prime minister cited significant gaps and a crisis of trust between the two men when he announced the dismissal. This comes as Israeli troops remain in Gaza as part of the war with Hamas. Meanwhile, Lebanese officials say dozens of people have been killed following an Israeli airstrike that hit an apartment building. The strike came without warning. The intended target is not clear. This comes as Hezbollah fires rockets towards Israel, and you can see a large portion of a rocket slammed into a parked car. Authorities say no one was injured. To Spain now, where cleanup and recovery efforts are underway 1 week after catastrophic flooding devastated that country. Efforts include sweeping away the sticky mud that seems to be everywhere there amid the more tragic work of searching for more bodies. Cars are still piled on top of one another, and thousands of homes have been destroyed. Meantime, residents and businesses are told they can't apply for financial help offered by Spain's government. Nearly 220 people have died in what is being considered the worst natural disaster in Spain's recent history. Okay, now to Cuba, where Hurricane Rafael has made landfall as a Category 3 storm, knocking out power on the island. Schools and public transportation are already suspended amid warnings of life-threatening storm surges, high winds, and floods. The Caribbean island is still recovering from another hurricane that made landfall 2 weeks ago. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, have no fear. The Holy Father delivers a message about the power of prayer. Plus, a message from the Holy Father that is not very sweet. We'll explain. reminds the faithful that prayer can be spontaneous and from a place of freedom rather than praying over fear or avoiding some kind of punishment.
Pensiamo un po' questo, pregare da figli di Dio, non da schiavi.
At the Wednesday address at the Vatican, the Holy Father said the Holy Spirit operates in our prayers, adding that the Spirit comes to aid us in our weakness, but that He also does something far more important. He testifies to us that we are children of God. Francis also prayed for the victims of the recent flooding in Spain. And finally tonight, the Holy Father also visited the oldest pontifical university in Rome. It was founded by St. Ignatius of Loyola in the 16th century. While there, Pope Francis used an analogy from the more recent times, warning the faithful against adopting a, quote, Coca-Cola spirituality.
Nessun algoritmo potrà sostituire la poesia, l'ironia.
No algorithm will replace poetry, irony, and love. And students need to discover the power of imagination, to see inspiration germinate, to get in touch with their emotions, and to know how to express their feelings. In this way, one learns to be oneself, measuring oneself face to face with great thoughts, according to the measure of one's capacity, without shortcuts that take away freedom from decision-making, extinguish the joy of discovery, and deprive one of the opportunity to make mistakes. From mistakes, we learn.
In his address to the academic community, the Holy Father warned against becoming too attached to the things of the world, adding that taking a superficial approach to faith formation is like drinking a sugary soda. It may taste good for a little while, but overall, it's unhealthy. Earlier, Father Mark Lewis, the rector of the Gregorian University, highlighted the example of Bishop Rolando Alvarez, the imprisoned, then exiled church leader from Nicaragua. Bishop Alvarez studied at the school known as the Greg. And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.